You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Talking Cubs baseball once again with our Cubs reporter, Kerry Muscat, on this Tuesday, April 19th. And Kerry, thank you so much for the time here again on this Tuesday, coming off a big 5-0 win for the Cubs Monday night over the arch-rival Cardinals in St. Louis in the first of what should be 19 very entertaining battles in the regular season. Who knows what the postseason could bring. But, Kerry, kind of set the scene for us last night at Busch Stadium, a very highly anticipated matchup. Was there kind of a buzz in the air that maybe reminded you of a playoff game in October, perhaps?
Oh, no, not at all. No, it's too early. I think there's a lot of people that are hyping it up like that, but there's always a buzz around Cubs-Cardinals. But having been here for the playoffs, that's different. This was just normal Cubs Cardinals, we don't like each other kind of buzz.
Do you sense though that, like you said, there is the we don't like each other factor? Is there a little more animosity this year, considering the back and forth that you had between the clubs in the off season and the respective positions of the teams here at the onset? A little more of that, maybe perhaps last night.
Well, I don't think the clubs went at each other. I think it's been more. The fans. I mean, the Cardinal fans were miffed that Jason Hayward and John Lackey left, and yet Hayward said that both of those players made qualifying offers, and then when Lackey turned it down, he said he never heard from the Cardinals again. So I'm not sure why fans should be upset with Lackey. As for Hayward, he's 26 years old. He's a free agent for the first time, and it's an opportunity to, pick and choose where he wants to play, and saw a team with like the Cubs that had a roster of players that where their contracts were more in line time-wise with him. That, there's a lot of back and forth that Hayward had dissed the Cardinals saying they were too old. Well, that's not what he meant. What he meant was, Yadier Molina is probably not going to last and keep playing the life of Hayward's contract, whereas a Chris Bryant and Addison Russell and Anthony Rizzo will. So he was looking more at the whole team type package and liked the notion that he could pick where he could play. And so the money was the same. The perks were the same. It just came down to he could make a decision, and that was the decision he made.
Yeah, and you wrote about that in your article, that those comments that he made in the offseason were definitely misconstrued. He was not saying that the Cardinals were old, just saying that given the contract situation, it was different given the situation in St. Louis and the situation in Chicago. And again, this guy's in the prime of his athletic life, 26 years old. He's given a choice to play where he wants to play for the first time in his professional life. He obviously chose the Cubs on a boatload of money, and good for him. Now, in speaking to him after the game last night, as you wrote, coming up to the plate in his first plate appearance in the first inning, a mixture of boos and cheers for a guy that just did spend the 1 year in St. Louis. But I think from what we know about Jason Hayward, he's a pretty level-headed guy. And did you get the sense in talking to him that he kind of took the whole thing in stride?
Yes. Yeah, he said people have a right to boo. People have a right to voice their opinion, and I'm sure he heard plenty of it. But most of the reason it was a mix is there were a lot of Cub fans here, which is normal for Cubs-Cardinals series. And the Cubs fans that were in the crowd were trying to sort of counter the boos a little bit. So I think that's where the cheers came from. The sad thing is Hayward made three nice plays in right field and got booed every time, except for by the Cub fans. So it was a little weird. The only really weird thing that happened in this game happened even before the game during batting practice, because for some reason someone in the stadium ops decided to play a classical music piece, Canon in D major, during the Cubs' batting practice, and then boom, turned the music off. So as they were taking BP, there was no music. So that was a little bit of gamesmanship. I think Madden called it psychological entertainment warfare, which is something you don't see every day.
No.
So, of course, the Cubs countered by going in and getting a portable speaker and somebody's iPod and came out and cranked up their own music. The Cardinals, of course, are showing highlights on the video screen of all their championships all over the years. So there's a little bit of gamesmanship there, but that wasn't Mike Matheny and Joe Maddon going head-to-head. That was somebody in the Busch Stadium operations who apparently has a little strange sense of humor.
Yeah, axe to grind, I guess. And but great that Joe Maddon, as he so often does, takes the whole thing in stride and says, okay, we'll one-up you. We'll get our own speaker, play our own music. And that was certainly an entertaining footnote. So it's a very... Oh, I want to say entertaining game, but it was kind of lopsided. The Cubs winning at 5-0, of course, behind John Lackey. Carey, he was nothing short of brilliant. 7 scoreless, 11 Ks. I believe his career high is 12, so one of the finest starts of his decorated career. Now, obviously, some X factors for Lackey in that game last night. You know, he's always, as has been documented, pitched well at Busch Stadium. He's familiar with the Cardinals hitters from his year and a half in St. Louis, and maybe... given the situation where the Cardinals did not retain him after last year, perhaps the juice is flowing a bit more than usual. When you look at all those X factors, what was perhaps the biggest contributor to just how effective he was last night?
I think he mentioned it postgame that he and catcher Miguel Montero were able to mix their pitches up well and get really good sequences going, so that because he is so familiar with the Cardinals that he did his best to throw them off. And I think the key at bat came in the fifth inning. Cardinals had two on, two out, actually runners at second and third and two out. And Matt Carpenter was up, who is a guy you don't want to mess with. And Lackey and Montero had a long conversation before that at bat. And then Lackey got Carpenter to swing and miss and end the inning. We didn't get a chance. We were waiting last night to talk to Montero about it. He didn't show up, but I'm hoping to catch him today to figure out what was the strategy there. Of course, and I have to remember when I do talk to him, this, as you said, this is game one of 19 games. You don't want to give away all your secrets, so I'm not sure how much Miggy will reveal.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what he does divulge, but in your write-up last night, I think, you know, Lackey certainly pointed to that moment, that pitch, as the biggest pitch of the game to get the always dangerous Matt Carpenter and helping lead the Cubs to that 5-0 win last night. So Lackey, of course, was brilliant. And when you talk about brilliance on that pitching staff, it starts with Jake Arrieta. As Carey, we backtrack a little bit to the Rocky series that the Cubs had at Wrigley over the weekend. The Cubs surprisingly dropping 2 out of 3. No disrespect to Colorado. They're playing a little bit better right now than most people would expect. But the lone victory in that series was courtesy of Mr. Arrieta, Mr. Cy Young. He's now made 6 straight scoreless starts at home. That is unprecedented in baseball history. The scoreless streak at home is just shy of 49 innings, I believe, now. And when you look at the second half that he had last year, a record-setting second half, how amazing is it to you and perhaps some people around the Cubs organization that there's been seemingly no letdown, no regression from that second half where his ERA was, I believe, 0.75?
I don't really find it amazing because I know Jake Arrieta, and he wants to do better than he did last year. And it's he knows that people are trying to tone it down and tell him, you know, you don't have to have a 0-point-something ERA, but he wants to do better. And that's his motivation, and I would not be surprised to see him continue that motivation the rest of the year.
Yeah, agreed. He's been sensational this year, as he was in the second half of last year, propelling him to the 2015 NL Cy Young, and he is the undisputed anchor and ace and face of this pitching rotation, whatever you want to call it. And then another guy that kind of followed in his footsteps in that series was John Lester, who was great. I believe 7 1/3, also a double-digit K's for Lester, but he somehow took the loss. The Cubs just couldn't get the bats going this year. We've discussed this in previous weeks, but what do you notice differently about John Lester in 2016 as opposed to John Lester in 2015?
Well, I think the biggest thing, and Maddon has mentioned this several times, is that his delivery is much cleaner and smoother. And I think he feels like he's back to John Lester when he's on in his good days with the Red Sox. I think a lot of that, he admitted that he was trying to do a little too much last season, you know, because of the big contract, because he was switching teams, because he was switching leagues, actually, you know, and all that was involved in there. And now I just kind of sense that he's much more relaxed. I think having Lackey, who's his buddy, contributes to that also. And it's just, it's just a lot more comfortable for him.
Yeah, definitely more of a comfort level, like you said. You know, he knows he's the, you know, kind of the number two guy now behind Arrieta. He's got, you know, his friend John Lackey there in the staff. So just much more comfort for John Lester in many other departments here as he rounds into the pitcher we know he can be for the Cubs in 2016. Kerry, just coming down the home stretch here, you know, it's hard to find a lot to criticize, a lot of red flags with a team that's 10-3. There are some players, though, off to a bit of slow starts. The sample size, again, is still admittedly small. We're not even into May yet. But who are one or two guys that could afford to pick up the pace a little bit here as we head towards the end of April?
Well, it's kind of hard to complain when you've got Rizzo with 3 home runs and 11 RBI, but he is only hitting 174. So I guess if you wanted to point fingers, you could point at him. Hayward is only hitting 189, and yet, when he does get on base and when he is in the field playing defense, you can tell that he's not bothered by batting 189. So I guess he's not too concerned about that. I know that they're not going to finish the season at 174 and 189. So I guess I'm not worried. And we asked Joe Maddon about that Monday before the game. And his comment was that he feels they'll heat up at some point, and they'll make up for the slow start. So I don't think anyone's too worried. Again, as you said, it's a small sample size.
Yeah, and again, they've got the track records to show that the numbers will be there at the end of the season. And to win 10 of 13 games when two of your mainstays in that lineup are not swinging the bat all that well, at least average-wise, that's a terrifying thought for the rest of the NL Central and the other 29 teams in baseball in general. Kerry Muscat, thank you so much for the time on this Tuesday. As always, we'll do it again next week for sure. In the meantime, Matt Wehmeyer signing off for MLB.com Extras, Chicago Cubs.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.